found this on Ganarum. Ganamir, me.
What is it?
Well, it's
chip for holes.
Yeah, in my gravity boots, I'm stuck walking the hole with a pounding in my skull. Ain't nobody knows which way the solar wind blows. Better than a man being blown.
Welcome to Symptoholics. This is your host, David Duncan. With me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
O'Brien. And we have special guest, the Grumpy Geek, Pete Herr, with us from the Geekiverse.
Hola, amigos.
Pete has decided to sign on to another tour of duty on our rickety old ship.
It was the blood wine that brought me in.
Blood wine.
Yeah, free blood wine tonight.
Yes, I made blood wine. I made a video. I'm trying to put it on YouTube. It may or may not be out on YouTube before this video, this podcast comes out. Who knows?
He came podcasting. There's nothing better than Klingon blood wine, I hear.
He came from the blood wine. He stayed for the ponfar.
So, yes, I made a video that's hopefully entertaining, and I'll be putting that up soon. You can find us at synthaholics.com. On Twitter, we're at Synthaholic Duo. I personally am at David_Jan_Duncan. How about you, fellas?
I'm at Blackbird2004.
Pete. At Pete Herr.
All right. And Pete,
I apparently have the boring name of the group.
Yeah, I was like early on. I took on the Blackbird thing. It was a thing for
You were trying to hide. That's what it was.
It wasn't a hide thing. It was just like a screen. It's when people used to screen names for everything.
Yeah.
And I always used the Blackbird thing. And you know, that just went away. Like, people stopped using screen names. Like,
I just resurrected a screen name from my AOL days.
That's what I'm talking
because
about.
Because I needed a...
mine was wacky.
I needed another Reddit account. You know, like, I needed one for one thing and one for another thing.
Yeah, for the porn talk.
Not
that you get
porn.
But
why you always got to go there? Blackbird, that's 007.
That's 007.
004.
004.
You couldn't even get up to 7.
I know. They wouldn't let me. They would not let me.
The guy that hit the hammer in the fair. Ding, ding. Nope. Sorry. That 007 for you.
All I licensed to kill turkeys. That's pretty much it.
Licensed to kill turkeys by beheading.
Yeah, I just behead turkeys on Thanksgiving.
Just get them drunk on blood wine.
Yeah. That's what the origin of my name. It was back when the AIM and all that stuff. Yeah. People had you just.
Is Twitter that old?
Yeah, I've been around Twitter for a long time. I was first generation Twitter.
Yeah, I was,
why I actually got my first name. Like my name, my Twitter name is my name because
I had to use underscores.
It was no underscores in mine, nothing because I was first generation Twitter.
Is it 2005 ish?
I want to say 7, but okay, I might be wrong.
I can't remember. But I was like the first. I remember my brother. I got him on Twitter, and he goes, "What the hell do you do with Twitter?" I was like,
I still don't know what you do with
that. I was like, hey, you know, it's just a thing. And I'm like, I'm always looking for new, you know, platforms, but, you know, some obviously stay and some do not.
So, you know, Pete, you're with Geekiverse. Do you have anything new you're working on that'll be coming out soon?
Next week?
Yeah, I don't. I've kind of stepped back into writing topical stuff. So I never know what I'm going to write until the day that I look to see what's topical. I do have a new Grumpy Geek episode coming soon that's going to deal a little bit with the chaos that is the DC expanded universe right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you too much about it, but it's there's chaos over there, and one particular thing caught in my craw a couple weeks ago that I've just been working on.
Just need to grump about.
Oh, totally need to grump about this one.
Did and I saw you put that article out for new sci-fi books.
Yeah, I try to do that every other month or so, if I can get to it, whatever new, you know, Amazon's got a nice feature where you can find the new sci-fi of the month. And then I look through the 20 books and I try to narrow it down to four or five that I think are real good ones.
Now, so. do you like download your books to a Kindle or anything like that?
Sometimes. But I much prefer having a book in my hand.
Me too. I can't.
Because I'm old school.
It's just one of those things for me. And I know that's stupid, but, you know, it's a waste of paper. And my wife yells at me. I have so many damn books.
Me too.
I mean, so many books.
I got piles of them.
And she won't. She just hates that I have so many books.
And I like that there's a certain set of books that I keep. But yeah. Then the vast majority of them, I'll let them pile up, and then I'll put them in a box, and then I'll donate them to
burn them in the dumpster.
Habitat for Humanity's got a store, and
I actually should do that. I have a lot of books. I should just recycle. I definitely should.
My accountant loves when I give stuff away.
Oh, that's good.
So. Can you? Oh yeah, you can write it off.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
you didn't know that Synthaholics was a tax show, did you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's that season. It's the season.
Tax season.
Maybe we should have talked about a more violent episode than the one where. Well, actually,
I don't know.
It had its moments.
This one's got its.
It definitely had its moments.
Pretty raw.
You know, you can also check out the Geekiverse at, they also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheGeekiverse. Is that right?
Yes.
And Aaron and I have both appeared on, not the same time, but on different videos from the Geekiverse. So even more reason for you to check them out. You can see our ugly mugs.
We're there. For better or worse.
Well, it's great fun having you guys over there. It's, the partnerships we're starting to collaborate are great fun. I love coming over and recording this stuff with you guys.
We're getting a lot of, you know, just, it's good to get our relationships and, you know, see whatever everyone else is into and, you know, cause everyone's got their own things, you know.
Definitely. And as much as we love Star Trek, it's awesome to be able to branch out and talk about other things we're passionate about, since you guys have a forum for that.
Well, and those,
And Dave was getting tired of talking to me, so.
No.
Jeez, I wonder why. You don't drink enough blood wine. That's the problem.
Ah, fuck, Aaron's coming out for the podcast. Dicks and pussy jokes.
Well, we don't talk Star Trek very often over there.
Or dick jokes.
We don't talk about those ever. The cast, the majority of the cast at the Geekiverse is much younger than me, and their first experience with Star Trek was the J.J. Abrams Chris Pine reboots. Mm-hmm. You know, and now they're all like, "Oh, we love Star Trek." I'm like, "Oh, shut up, you late to the party."
Well, we had Josiah, and we talked about
Galileo Seven
from the original series, and he really dug it. You know, it was really cool that he got a chance to watch it and get to see all the, actors in their prime.
It's been great fun introducing some of them to it.
Two things, yeah.
You know, so.
We're going to pull Trevor in hopefully next month for Space Seed.
Oh, that's going to be great with Khan.
Khan's the man.
Yeah, and it's cool thing is, like, you know, the older person with a younger group that you can kind of turn people onto things. Like, I had a friend who, when I was younger, got me into all sorts of music I had no idea about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you grow older, you find all this music's connected to the music that you're into now, but you just didn't know it because you just came onto the scene, you know? So mm-hmm. I'd be like, wow, this band sounds a lot like that. And he's like, well, that's the reason, because
that was their inspiration.
That's what they took their music from, you know? And yeah, I mean, just like you're unraveling all this secret knowledge. It's great, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, they keep me young and they keep me grumpy working with a bunch of kids.
That's what kids will do.
I'm telling you.
But they do one good thing. They make you realize what's important in life, because I think as you get older, you get kind of distracted all the little crappy stuff, and you start losing the focus of what was the main drive or what made you happy when you were younger. You know, I think that's what kids do for you.
Yes, and I think the cooler the best thing about working with younger people is their optimism.
Mm-hmm.
I am much more jaded. I didn't get the nickname the Grumpy Geek because
Well, age will do that to you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been around the block a couple times, so it's allows me to be a little bit more. Right. I don't know if it allows me to, but it definitely, having the experiences that I have, I'm a little bit more jaded about things.
Well, life will definitely grind you down.
And speaking of life grinding you down,
uh-oh.
We are speaking of Voyager, Year of Hell.
And we're going to probably be calling this episode Our Year of Hell, because yesterday, as of the recording of this episode, Aaron and I were both laid off from our previous employment. We were
is this the Jeopardy episode? Yeah. We were laid off by a major data company.
Yes, we were.
A year and a day ago as of the recording of this episode. So
if you don't know, me and Dave met at this tech company, which we will not disclose or divulge, but we were laid off because there were layoffs involved, and unfortunately both lost our jobs. But hey, you got this show. You lucky bastards.
No, you still got this show, because we recorded at work because it was just convenient.
That probably had nothing to do with
it. It was
got
convenient to do so. No, I had the blessing of my manager's manager, so it was cool.
And I was peeing in the, what's it, the water fountains?
No.
The water fountains.
But, you know,
thanks for sharing that. Can I get you some more blood wine?
it was just, it was really a really hard time. And it was just, you know, I'm still feeling the effects of what that's done in my life.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I think we all have shitty years one way or the other. And I was thinking about it. It's like, I don't know if this has been the worst year, but it has not been an easy year. And I know you. I think you've had a worse year than I've had, Dave.
I had a really bad year.
Yeah, you had a bad year.
I was in the hospital for a couple of days. Unemployment wants their money back. Oh, it's all sorts of horribleness.
But you're back and you're employed.
I'm employed.
Things are good. The podcast is going great. We've got new friends. We got
new
Pete
friends
here.
Like the literally the best part of the year was meeting Robbie at the Buffalo Comic Con in September, and then having
make him feel bad.
And then he introduced me to Josiah, which introduced me to Pete,
which we just met Robbie that day too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean I met Robbie first, and Robbie introduced me to you guys. So like through him I met you guys, and that was like the best part of my year.
It was totally we started some dominoes falling.
That's great, you know, and that's what it all comes down to, is that sometimes just things all kind of come together in some weird, I don't know what the real thing is.
And I'm getting better. I didn't butcher the Grumpy Geek logo name or the Geekiverse name on introducing him this time.
Yeah, so totally.
From Grumpy Unification episode.
Right.
I butchered it, so
yeah,
I'm getting better.
Right. So Year of Hell, this is a Voyager episode, a two-parter. The first episode came out in November 5th, 1997. And this is episode 4, and it goes 8 to 9. So
it was weird because, like, for some reason, I thought Year of Hell was a pre-7 of 9 episode, but it was because there was an episode from one of the first three seasons that actually had like a premise of the Year of Hell, but they just did it all in one episode, where, you know, a bunch of crap started happening, and they basically just expanded that idea to a two-parter,
right,
for this episode,
right? Yeah,
because they said they liked the idea of Voyager being banged up, and it's frankly, because they were in the Delta Quadrant, Voyager should have looked worse and worse every season. I don't know why they liked that idea, but then they just, you know, threw it away. I'm like, Voyager should look worse and worse every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it should be like
It shouldn't look pristine at the end of the seventh season.
It should be
season.
Like a jalopy going through space.
Well, had like two different nacelles.
I think every...
It'd be all lopsided.
Every time Janeway got mad and punished Tom Paris, she sent him out to scrub the halls. So
yeah, get going. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. So this episode starts off that they have the day one. This is what they do. They put the days on each.
Yeah.
And it shows that a civilization is being destroyed.
By Red Foreman.
By Red Foreman.
He's putting their boots so far up their ass
that they never existed.
That was my first thought. Like in the first 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, it's that 70s show guy.
You should just, after he destroyed him, go,
dumbasses.
And the other guy, you know,
yeah,
like his
Obrist, yeah.
Right, his little lackey guy. I'm like, is that Lorenzo Lamas? Like, it totally looked like young Lorenzo Lamas.
It does.
And then I went and looked up Lorenzo Lamas just real quick to see if it was in fact him. And it's totally not him.
Yeah.
And poor Lorenzo has not had a good life either. He's at the point now, like, he was like the good-looking stud guy.
Sure, yeah.
Right? He was, you know, all this stuff. And now he's playing things like, you know, Councilman Delgado and Judge Rogers. Like, you know your career is
when you're doing
over.
Like the senior roles.
Right.
It, like, you know, like the, you're the older roles. I always say a recording artist's career is over when they do a Christmas album, because usually unless you're country.
And Lorenzo is also, he's got like one of those Christmas Hallmark movies out there too. So
that's the mark.
Poor
of death.
Bastard is,
kiss of death.
Yeah, he's done. Right. There's some little girl wandering around behind him now going, no, you have to go to Buffalo and go to this Comic-Con and sign autographs this year. He's like, no,
just
my career's coming back.
Just
I'm
like Steve, just like Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah.
God, that
that's
guy.
When you know you're in trouble.
I mean, that guy was in Police Academy movies, Cocoon. Man, it was in all those movies.
And he was still getting $30 for an autograph.
Yeah. He's doing better
Not
than
for me.
He's doing better than
from
me, probably.
Whoever decides to pay him that.
Right.
That works.
But there was a line.
Yeah.
I mean, we were there. There was a line.
So the Red Foreman destroyed the planet. And next scene, we go to Astrometrix, the Astrolab, where 7 of 9 and Harry Kim put together their maps together with the Borg and Federation.
They're like, oh, this is like such a way more accurate way of depicting space. I'm like, did you forget about that episode called Threshold where Tom Paris is literally everywhere?
And
you downloaded all the maps? Like, really? Did you forget about that? Yeah. It's another thing that...
This is still better.
Still better.
They said it was better, so it must be better. Dave.
How was it better? They had the exact maps.
Don't be such a... You know, you're darkening doorsteps now. This was a big thing.
That's what Dave does.
No, but they had the exact maps.
He wears a long dark cape and a top hat and just hangs out in alleys all day long.
It pays the bills.
So 7 or 9.
That's my new job, if you were wondering.
He is employed. We didn't say doing what. So 7 or 9 figures out a way with this new mapping system to trim off 5 years from their decades-long journey.
Taking a ride to Albuquerque would have just made the big
Albuquerque
difference.
Would have made it, yeah.
Yeah. The Albuquerque system?
Yeah, the Albuquerque. Their three-way system.
The interstates are so efficient, they never get jammed up like Atlanta.
Bar none. And then the doctor goes into a long, drawn-out, prepared speech, but it's...
Which was hilarious, by the way.
Pretty funny.
It was funny. Like, I know you're not a big fan of Voyager as a whole.
The doctor in 7 of 9 are my favorite characters, so anything that comes out of the doctor's mouth, I pretty much love.
Yeah. So 7 of 9 and the doctor save Voyager for Dave.
Yes.
Do you like Voyager?
I like parts of it. When it gets a little bit like Threshold and stuff like that, there's some episodes I think are just so silly that are like, what? But then there are a couple, every once in a while there's an episode, like these episodes, and especially the earlier episodes, I think are very well put together.
Yeah, I love the premise.
Yeah.
I did. I love the premise. They're out there on their own, and there's a lot of characters. I mean, I'm a big fan of B'Elanna Torres, and I'm a big fan of Neelix. Neelix cracks me up every time, this episode.
I don't like Neelix either.
Even in this episode, he cracks me up.
Drives me nuts.
Well, the premise of Voyager was...
You were darkening doorsteps, too?
That's my job, too.
You're the grumpy geek. You're supposed to be darkening doorsteps.
Well, that's true.
I actually don't get paid.
I'm a big Voyager fan. Maybe it's because I watched it with my kid when he was.
I know I like Voyager for a lot of reasons.
Voyager is a great premise. I like the premise. They just didn't follow through on the premise. They didn't keep the fighting between the Maquis and the Federation. And like you were saying earlier, the ship never just broke down and got like just worse and worse looking every season.
Well,
the premise was great.
You get hung up on the details. Like you get hung up on canon. You get hung up on a lot of stuff like that. That doesn't bother me as much. My thing is I want to see a story that's going to make me go, oh, wow, think about that. Think about this. Like, you know, like even this makes you think about things a little bit, you know, which I always expect from
Star Trek
to do. But that being said, I think there's a lot of silliness. Like there's some bad written episodes.
The producers pitched Voyager as like the action Star Trek series. Mm-hmm. And so I think they missed out on some of the thinky episodes or as much thinky episodes as TNG and DS9 had.
But that being said, Cate Blanchett sometimes comes out of nowhere from that cardboard acting she does and then will just give me a line or two that will be like, wow,
Kate Blanchett?
Kate Blanchett. I mean, Kate Mulgrew.
Kate Mulgrew. Blanchett.
When is she?
Yeah, Kate Blanchett. She would have been a great addition to the cast.
Wow, she would have been.
I have total crush.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's been really young though.
She'd be super young.
Crush.
I don't think she'd be old enough for this.
On Mulgrew in this. Yeah. Total crush on.
On this episode.
This episode, she was gorgeous.
Hot.
Totally gorgeous.
The whole scene where she's gonna ram the ship and stuff like that. I was like, damn, I like to ram into her.
When she goes tank top, she's not bad looking.
No, I mean, just tank top mode. Like you say, when she loses the bun, it's so much better.
Janeway, her bun unfurled.
Yeah, so much better when she gets to that point. But no, but she will come out with these, like, just a couple lines or how she'll deliver them, and I'll be like, wow.
Occasionally, they'll write for her really good, but it's only on occasion.
See, I think her writing often sucks, but when she how she delivers them makes me go like, "Wow, that's great!"
Yeah, she's a fantastic actress. I've no issue with the actors in the show except for maybe Robert Beltran.
I know you hate him. She hates Chakotay. He's going to be the only guest we get in here.
Yeah, right.
And Dave will just like crush his balls. We're going
to remind me not to make that call for you.
He's going to tie him to a chair and just like take a hammer to his nuts.
No, remember a Casino Royale. We'll make him naked. We'll tie his legs to the chair and we'll swing the knotted rope up.
Oh yeah, there balls. You go. Yeah, do the old Daniel Craig thing.
It's hard to get guests back if you do that. I don't want to be the guy to point it out to you, but really hard to get
people. You're the one taped to the chair.
Yeah. Just really hard to get people.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Pete. We got it. We got the chair in the that's cut open at the bottom for you as well. Thank you. That's at the end
Where's
of the show. You're going to need a lot
of the blood wine.
Where's the blood wine? Give me more blood wine.
Anyways, way off topic. This is a long episode. the doctor's speech gets interrupted, and then we have the Krennan vessel, a small little crappy ship, comes in, starts shooting at them. And Janeway makes a joke that the size of their torpedoes is not going to do anything unless they have something bigger.
In their tubes.
In their tubes.
She made a sex joke.
Sex joke. Penis joke on them. Well,
she's like, mine's bigger than yours.
Oh, yeah. And right then, that's where we get
The time wave.
The time wave. That's probably the best way.
The temporal disturbance.
Temporal disturbance from the beginning of the show comes crashing through, and all of a sudden,
People are dead.
Yeah, they're
Voyager's messed up.
Voyager's all messed up.
The Krennan ship's way bigger than it was a second ago.
Right. And they're
she stops making sex jokes.
The sex jokes end immediately. And she makes the joke of, like, this is turning into the week of hell. And they're basically just getting beat up from because their torpedoes aren't being are getting destroyed by because it's going right through the shields, the Krennan ships.
Yeah, because they have like temporal shields and temporal torpedoes. Like, they didn't ever explain how they really
how
worked.
They like they phase in and out
phasing things.
They phase in and out of time. Okay, what does that mean?
Who cares? It's super cool.
It is pretty super cool.
I'd like to phase in and out of time like 20 minutes before the end of class.
That would be pretty nice.
I want that power.
Yeah. Well, they decide obviously they got to get away because they're getting pummeled. And then we go back to the Anorex's ship where they've decided that they have the erasure of the planet and their civilization has brought the Krennan to like almost 99%.
Like a 90% restore of what he wants their timeline to be.
Unfortunately, the planet, Kaina Prime, has not been restored.
So he's trying to restore this one planet.
And this is what Anorex or Red Foreman.
Red Foreman.
Same character. We'll call him Red Foreman from now on.
Red Formax?
Yeah.
Red Formax. That's a good one.
But that's what he's obsessed with. You know, he's completely.
He's trying to get his wife back.
Yeah, you know the thing that I'm totally into these sort of time travel multiverse stuff right now. I'm going through a phase.
That's very cool stuff.
I'm totally into it now. So, you know, I jumped on the NBC Timeless bandwagon, which is their time travel show right now. And it's the same storyline. Like, like the one guy that's traveling in time is trying to get his wife died, and he's trying to get her back.
Gotcha. You
know? So it's the same kind of – it's a tired old – time travel storyline where you're going back in time to bring back somebody you love.
It's an interesting premise, period, just to do any kind of time traveling and then, you know, like what happens every time.
The ripples that you sense through the whole thing. Yeah,
from doing the littlest
thing. And these two episodes are all about the ripples that happen throughout space. And it's really cool how, like, things change and things go back and forth a little bit.
And it's cool that they sort of use the visual or the metaphor of the temporal waves.
Sure.
When they, every time they destroy something, that temporal wave comes through and you watch, you know, as it hits the ships change or disappear, or get bigger, or get smaller, and people disappear. And
yeah. So. It's definitely a fun premise.
It's a really cool concept.
Yeah.
Well, so we go now to day 32 and the Voyager's being chased by the Krennan warships and, Tuvok's still trying to modify their shields for their chronoton torpedoes, but it's not working because Tuvok always does wonderful work. And
the best, the very best work. We ain't found shit.
We ain't found shit.
I don't think he ever said that.
He did.
We ain't found shit.
In Spaceballs, he said it.
Spaceballs. Correct. He's the one with the
the afro comb.
Yes.
And then we have this great scene where they've taken a hit and they have the impending destruction of Deck 5. And the doctor has to evacuate everyone off of Deck 5. And then there's the two stragglers.
He shuts the door on them and they just blow out into space.
Yeah.
I love how the ship like blew up.
No, this whole sequence of all the stuff that's going on with Voyager and just getting trashed is probably one of the best parts of this whole two episodes.
Watching that ship just take all the punishment that it gets.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It's pretty cool. I can't deny it. It's pretty cool to see a ship like that getting smashed.
They also end up finding a torpedo. A 7-9 finds a torpedo stuck in a Jeffries tube, and Tuvok comes to assist her. She's like, "Arrive quickly!"
Yeah,
I love the way she put that.
Yeah, and within that time, she does enough scans that she's trying to get the, I guess, some kind of variant seconds from the torpedo that they can use.
So they can use it to fix their shields.
Right. But just before they do that, Tuvok tells her to get out, and she doesn't listen to him, and that's a couple seconds. The warhead does go off, and Tuvok, unfortunately, is blinded by that.
He's blinded by it. He was supposed to lose a leg also, but they were like, "Yeah, we don't have the time or the budget to make him legless too." So,
yeah.
It was great fun watching him blind shave himself,
which has got to be the dumbest thing you ever did.
With like a miniature bat left.
Right. That's the thing that was funny about it is he wasn't using like the old Gillette straight razor. He's using a Klingon
or Pete. How about just electric razor?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean.
How come there's not a thing on the wall that just put your face that it just shaves you for you?
Yeah.
It's the future.
I made a note of that. I mean, it absolutely cracked me up that he's got this specialty Vulcan.
It could be a Vulcan thing, but it looks a lot like a miniature Batleth.
Basically just a little short sword. Short sword.
Like, remember back in the 70s and 80s, they used to have the car charger that you'd put in and you could shave inside the car?
Oh, totally.
Yes, because you want your beard all over your car.
Yeah, you want all your hair follicles over the car.
Shave your legs, too, you know?
Well, the funny thing is that I just recently could grow a beard at, you know,
just recently
at 48, so...
What?
Yeah, well, my nickname in college was Shaggy because when I tried to grow a beard, it only grew on the bottom of my chin. So
I thought it was your love of Scooby Snacks.
Well, there's that, too. I'll do anything for a Scooby Snack.
It's like... You don't do Klondike bars. You just Snoopy's.
No. If we could get him to go into haunted, demon-infested houses, and he'd be like, "Oh, I'll go.
Yeah.
Give him a Scooby Snack.
Or anything for a movie."
Drove around in a mystery van.
I like how 7 of 9 is like a Tuvok seeing eye dog.
Yeah. What? Like, can't they get an ensign to do that?
Can't they get Geordi's visor thing and just implant it? And that would have been great. Like just to have like just to give him a visor. Like it would have been great. I mean,
yeah.
Why do you need
by that point in time the replicators were down. They
Talking about replicator.
Oh, come on, the doctor could have pulled out some of 7 of 9's nanoprobes and they could have fabricated.
And then he's got two big boobs for eyes.
Exactly.
Okay, but Chakotay says...
you see the best with those.
It's been... Anyways...
I've been a long time.
Chakotay decides that he's going to give Janeway a birthday gift, gives her a silver pocket watch, but she asks him to recycle it because they need everything for this.
But I totally made this before stuff started going bad.
Yeah. I mean...
She brought her bitch right there. She did.
Yeah, and it reminds me of most gifts I get my wife, but she's like, just recycle this.
I don't want this.
I've been married 29 years this year, and she still yells at me all the time for the time I bought her the under-the-counter coffee maker for, like, Mother's Day or something.
I literally...
Or Valentine's Day.
I just ask her, what do you want? Because I am
Does
not
Does that
good.
Work?
Because
I've been married for 29 years.
Yeah, I can't... Just let's cut the bullshit. We're both adults. I will get you anything just to make you happy. Just please, just tell me, because I'm tired of buying crap that you don't like.
Yeah, what she wants... You know what present she wants?
She wants
you not to hang out in Dave's apartment for 4 hours.
That might be it.
Drinking blood wine.
That might be it, too.
And recording Star Trek.
I don't know. She might be kind of happy for me to go.
Are you saying you're leaving the show?
No, I know. I think she's happy for me to be out of the house.
Well, I spoke with her a couple times when I was delivering the headset to your house once. She said she's happy that you're having fun doing stuff. So
she's lying.
Okay.
Does she listen to the show?
No.
Okay, you're good.
No. I've never heard tell me one thing about the show once in my
That's the only reason I can bring up the under-the-counter coffee maker, because my wife will never listen
She'll
to
never
the show.
She'll never listen
either.
To it, yeah.
Mrs. Grumpy, not going to see it.
Well, you know, it's like this funny thing is, like, I always think about some of the stuff we say. Like, you know, I wonder if I'll be held against me. It's like, no one's going to listen to all this. I mean, unless you're like a huge fan, like it's some just like jerk off the street is just not going to go through all the hundreds of hours.
Well, right up until you run for president.
Well, then it'll be entertaining for the NSA and anybody
else. They'll love it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I'll be running for president.
No.
I think I'm too old now to make my political career
work.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not connected enough. Well,
You always tweet to Donald Trump and ask him to vouch for you.
Well, it does get to the point. You do think, like, maybe anything's possible.
That's what Twitter's for.
Yeah.
You asked earlier. I don't know what you do on Twitter. You watch the Donald Trump show.
You tweet Donald Trump.
All right.
See if you get blocked by him.
Oh, that's great.
Well, okay. So with that new temporal torpedo with the scans they get to modify the shields, and with that the shields are modified, and next time they're attacked the shields do work. They withhold the from their temporal torpedoes. At the same time, Red Formic's foreman Anorax is taking out another planet with a civilization trying to get back the colony that he was from, or the planet he was from with his mm-hmm. wife. And when he destroys that, then another time wave comes through.
And that time wave is like the bad retarded stepsister time wave, because like it's like a 20% restoration. Like, he screwed the pooch.
He didn't screw the pooch. It was the temporal.
It was Voyager.
Voyager that screwed the pooch on it.
Right. So the wave hits, and Voyager is unaffected because they have the temporal shielding. So they notice all the differences that the Krennan warship.
More differences happen.
Yeah, the Krennan warship is way weaker, smaller than it was before.
It's like a smart car of warships.
Yes,
it goes from a big old muscle car Cadillac.
It's to a Geo Metro. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, the golf cart with the frame around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I still look at those things funny when they drive on the road. I'm like, how is that a car?
So Voyager's still beat up, but at least now they can kind of get away from those warships. Actually, those warships were destroyed, actually, weren't they? No, there was one left. And from the time wave.
But, yeah, because I think they hailed him afterwards.
Yeah.
But Voyager, the Red Formax, decides to come after Voyager because, like, oh, that little ship, that's what messed everything up. So he goes after them.
Right.
Captures Chakotay and
Tom Paris. Right, right. And then they go to, after they're transported, they start getting fired on by the ship, but they do realize that their Voyager is faster than their all-powerful temporal destroying
They get all the time ship. In the world. They don't have to move fast.
Yeah, it's, can't they just, like, go back in time or, I don't know.
Well, they're, like,
they try to erase Voyager history with their time beam, but they warp out of it, and then... And then Janeway's like, well, if I ask you all to stay, you're going to die. So she sends them all off in escape pods, except for the senior staff, which somehow Neelix is part of the senior staff.
Yeah.
Even though he's just like
somehow he's still alive?
A, still alive, and B, somehow part of the senior staff, even though he's just like the space Jawa they picked up a couple seasons ago.
He's like the space clown that just won't die.
The Jar Jar Binks.
So. Oh, he is the Jar Jar Binks.
No, he's a space Jawa.
He is space Jawa.
He's just a junk dealer.
I like the guy.
I know you do.
I do.
There's something wrong with you.
No, there's definitely something wrong with it, as evidenced by the fact that I'm sitting here with you guys.
Yeah, they'll do it.
That helps. So does the bloodline.
Welcome to our club. So that ends episode one, and then we go into
the thing that's got me scratching my head about the end of episode one, where all those like the escape pods are all in the hull of the ship, which somehow all the damage has not happened to the escape pod. I'm surprised the escape pods even work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Since like so much the hull is just broken, I'm like, how come?
Well, maybe most of the crew's dead too, so.
That's true.
Yeah. Then we go to Year of Hell Part 2, and there we get a messed up Voyager in a nebula. And we have Janeway and Harry Kim with gas masks, and the whole deck's flooded with gas, and they're trying to...
I like how they're like, oh, it's the nebula. It's coming in. It's something wrong with the ventilation systems. Okay. You're in space.
It should be hermetically sealed.
Why are you ventilating anything from outside the ship into the ship, like, at all? You're in space. You don't ventilate vacuum into your ship to make it work better.
Maybe there are
things wrong with the ventilation.
Maybe they were bringing some of the gas to try to use some of the gas to.
Well, they use the Buzard collectors to harvest gas from the nacelles, but that's not usually on the rest of the hull. Where they maybe just let stuff in.
Maybe it got in there. I don't know. What the hell do I know?
But why would the ventilation systems be in anywhere where they could, like, you know, touch space?
I don't.
That
know.
Just seems like a bad design.
Anyways, so
just saying.
They repair that, the gas goes away, but then she's coughing up a lung. Doctor says that she needs to rest for 48 hours, and she says, no, just...
I'm too busy. I sent all my crew away.
Just give me drugs. They could
have done this stuff for me.
Just give me drugs, and...
That's the answer to everything now, isn't it? Just give me drugs.
I would say it's probably most of the answers to things. And then...
just give everyone a little bit of Dilaudid, and everyone will be so much happier.
And that's where we leave him there. Then we go to Chakotay, and Chakotay's got like a beard or a goatee going on. His hair looks a little messed up. I kind of like this look better for Chakotay. I kind of wish he stayed with that instead of the clean shaven look.
It works. He's the mirror universe Chakotay now.
Yeah, yeah, right. I think he had a more badass look to him. It's like when Sisko shaved his head, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a huge difference.
So much better. Yeah. Well, anyways, so he's on Anorak's ship, and they're bringing him.
They've been captured for months.
Yeah, like two months, and they are brought to a big table, and Tom Paris is there with Chakotay, and Tom Paris is getting all beefy with Red Foreman Anorak's. And
trying to measure their beefs.
And but Chakotay seems to be open to what Anorak is saying to him. Like, he's,
yeah, let's fix the timeline. Let's do it.
It's interesting because at first I thought
it worked so well too. Just ask Barry Allen.
Yeah. Barry Allen. Yeah, that's where you go. Flashpoint. But when it was interesting to me at this very point because Tom Paris seems to be like, no way, these guys are scumbags. They're wiping off civilizations. We can't do anything. But Chakotay kind of was like, no, wait a second. Let's talk about this.
We can get Voyager closer to home if we fix.
I don't think. Stuff. See, this is the thing. I don't think Chakotay's playing it like that. I think he's like, let me try to be cool with them, and maybe I can get some good inroads with Anorak.
Yeah,
and he'll
that's kind of what I felt like was that.
At first, you think he's like a doof, like oh, he just like,
and like he just fought for it. But then I started to feel like he was actually playing a game.
Yeah, he's
just a longer game.
Yeah,
I think he was trying to use it to get, you know, Voyager closer, because I mean, Janeway does stop and look at everything like she's like a lost puppy. She's like, oh yeah, what's this? Oh, what's this? Oh, what's this? And like, you know, they could be going home. I mean, like, if they just took a straight shot for 75,000 light years, that's like an 80-year trip. So, like, that's, if all you're doing is moving forward, that's an 80-year trip. And she's like, oh, it's an asteroid. Oh, it's a comet.
Oh, you're saying how she keeps stopping to investigate and always gets in trouble.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, there's this. Oh, look, there's that. I'm like,
it's kind of fun talking about Voyager with a guy who hates Voyager.
Well, that is probably the one thing. Is like, it's two things. Like, it's like Voyager was always like that, and then Enterprise was always like, oh, aliens, let's be friendly. The aliens do not want to be your friends.
But it's just, no. I mean, Voyager, the whole premise is they're trying to get home, except for Janeway takes all the sidetracks she possibly can.
Oh, look at this comet!
Oh, and that's what that's what Chakotay tries to kill. He tries to undo a comet that Voyager took like a week or two to study. That's a week or two travel time, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get home.
No, I agree.
And then he wipes out 2,000 civilizations because fragments of that
comet
broke off. But let's
be honest, they knew that their 75-year journey was only going to be 7 years anyway, and then there was going to be whatever sent them there was going to bring them back home again.
Hmm.
The caretaker died. The caretaker did not send them back home.
No, Janeway had to go rescue him.
Janeway had to go the slow way and then come back.
I just meant
in a mess of the last episode.
There was some sort of miracle thing that flung him out there. Another miracle thing was going to bring him back.
The Borg conduit brought him back.
Absolutely. Well, so Chakotay's working an angle, Anorak's, to get him to, kind of, to befriend him and try to get into like what's going on with them and try to figure out what's Anorak's like motivation is. And here's the thing is Anorak's becomes more interesting because you kind of like realize that Anorak's is sort of like the Dr. Freeze of
Star Trek
because his Dr. Freeze was always trying to like save his wife
no matter what the cost. That's how this guy's like. He's trying to rationalize it. Well, if I erased them from history, I didn't really kill them. They never existed.
Yeah.
He's like, fighting with himself about the semantics of
he's definitely you could see, I mean, he's resigned to it, but he is tortured by it. Like, he's not happy with everything he's done. It's just he's doing it because he's still a monster.
And Red Foreman's just a fantastic actor, so this was a perfect role for him, I think.
It is very interesting to see him like in this. This is
more melancholy and serious.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think he
was quite good.
Yeah, I think his character
it's hard to take anybody who was in that 70s show and say, wow, they're a really good actor. And then you see him do something else, and they're like, ooh, okay, he's a pretty good actor.
I always enjoy villains that actually have a background that make you go like, oh. Like when you see Magneto in the first Avengers, or X-Men, and, his parents are getting taken away to the, Auschwitz. And that's when his mutant powers, kick in, and he starts crushing the gates and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, I get it.
Well, villains with a sympathetic plight is way more compelling than you
standing in an alleyway
villains
scaring children
with my top hat and my cape
twirling your mustache.
way more fulfilling.
I can't pay the rent.
You must pay the rent.
I need to.
Anyways, enough of Dave terrorizing the children in the neighborhood.
I didn't mean to.
Anyway, so Chakotay, like you said, is trying to do the doing calculations and how they found the comet. But when he does this little test, it finds out that it wipes out like all these civilization when he removes the comet because the comet
seeded life on
different planets. And
I think that's why I'm totally into this sort of time travel multiverse thing right now.
Right,
it's what I'm reading. It's what I'm watching and stuff because it's so fascinating, the idea of, one little thing happening changes the whole timeline.
Right.
Butterfly effect, totally, yeah. It's a fun thought experiment, totally. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's like I said, Homer Simpson's father gave him that advice on his wedding night. Yeah. If you ever go back in time, don't touch anything because the smallest thing could alter the future.
That's where you went with this. We're having this philosophical thing, and you go Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
To two people who have not seen The Simpsons.
It's monstrous. That's monstrous fantastic. You have not seen
that's
them.
Fantastic.
Write a letter to my dad.
I might. Don't count that. Anyway, so Chakotay's kind of finding the like the nuances of the temporal, you know, the issues that can come apart with
and
these.
Tom Paris is playing games with the Red Foreman's first in command.
Yeah, and
Lorenzo Lamas.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Paris has got Oberus, and he's kind of like befriending him and trying to get the idea of the crew. And he's basically saying this crew's ready for mutiny because they've been at this for like 200 years, and they're sick of it. They can't.
You're probably going to get like tweet after tweet after tweet from people saying that wasn't Lorenzo Lamas, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll.
It's going to be Lorenzo himself might.
He might
tweet.
It's about time people tweet at us. Tweet
I tried to get in Star Trek and they wouldn't let me. I was too good looking back then.
I was too good looking. They would not let me.
Harry Kim punched me in the face. That's why I couldn't be on the show. Because Harry Kim was like their sexiest man alive, which is why they kept him past season three.
And that's why I'm
Have
just.
Have you seen him lately, though?
Yeah.
He's still okay.
Yeah,
like, he's got older, but he's still all right.
With the really long hair now.
Yeah.
Has he got long hair?
Well, that's his IMDb profile picture is him with like
mm-hmm.
super long hair.
Okay. I don't know what he's been in.
I think a lot of nothing, actually.
A whole lot of nothing.
He runs that convention circuit.
Yeah, with Steve Guttenberg.
Maybe he'll come to Buffalo.
I thought I wrote a note. He hasn't done a lot of things that you'd recognize.
Anyways, all of a sudden another thing happens, a meteor shower. Oh, this is the other thing. They're hidden in the nebula. They're totally safe. And then Janeway says, we're leaving the nebula.
Yeah, that was one moment in time where I'm like, what?
Yeah, I was like,
no, terrible.
That doesn't
terrible
make
writing.
Any sense.
And any,
Dave,
in any
you can
world.
Hate on this. You can hate on this thing. This one.
You have
thing.
His permission.
My permission to hate on this one thing.
Maybe I shouldn't since he gave me.
No, now I like
contrary.
It. Now I
no,
like
no,
it.
It was dumb. Like, I'm just like, well, you sent your crew away, and all you were doing is hiding in a nebula. If you didn't send your crew away, you could have gotten the ship fixed faster by hiding in the nebula.
Doesn't
and it totally sense. Looked like that little meteor shower totally looked like something right out of Willy Wonka. It was like little chocolate pellets.
It was malted milk balls.
Yeah.
Well, oh, I was thinking never stopping God Stoppers or whatever they are. Grab me a beer.
You got it.
Yeah. So they left the nebula and then they go into a meteor shower's kicking Voyager's ass, and you got to be like, what are they even thinking? I mean, that Janeway would actually take them out of the nebula when they were safe.
When they're still like basically broken down, don't have warp drive because Blonde's like, yeah, it'll probably be a couple weeks. And Janeway's like, come on, Scotty did it quicker. I'm like, yeah, Scotty had an engineering team. I'm just by myself.
Well, and here, because of the shower, meteor shower, Janeway does pay for it because she has to go into a to get the deflectors up, and the deflector room is on fire.
And so she's like,
don't know why that got on fire.
Eh.
Wasn't working anyways, but now it's on fire. And Janeway has to run in, and she gets very badly
burned.
Well,
there's something wrong with the environmental system. I mean, the ventilation system. That's why it's
right.
on fire.
She's like Will Ferrell.
That's why this had to happen.
She's like Will Ferrell in, what's it called, in Austin Powers, when he goes down the pit and he's on fire. I'm very badly burned.
Yeah.
My body.
You're going to find this hard to believe?
What?
I've never seen a Will Ferrell movie either, I don't think, in its entirety. Except for, no, that's not true. Like, when I used to chaperone the senior trip at school, we'd watch Elf over and over.
That's a good movie. That's
it
a good
is
movie.
So Elf is not a good movie.
If for kids,
any Saturday
for
Night
Will
Live.
For Will Ferrell?
Yeah. Any Saturday Night Live character or actor that comes off and tries to take 5-minute character sketches and turn them into 2-hour movies.
That wasn't a Saturday Night Live sketch.
No, but it was a character that you would see on Saturday Night Live.
Sure, but
right, and they were like, "Let's do this thing for the
for
this
Will Ferrell movie." It was
minutes.
Pretty good because Will Ferrell movies get much worse.
Yeah,
well, that part
much
is
worse.
That part is
that true. Was a good movie. I
liked Elf.
I'll watch it with my kids and they'll laugh. So and then yeah. I'll laugh because they're laughing. So that's
that's not really laughing at the movie.
Partly.
It's an assist.
An assist left. I mean, I'm not going to say
I do
it's,
like,
my, it's not my favorite movie.
Oh, no,
like,
no. No, but as far as for Will Ferrell movies goes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, so there's one good Will Ferrell.
There's some good things there. I mean, Will Ferrell does have some good movies. I'm not going
to. You guys need to have my brother-in-law, the Scottish Wonder, on here. Cause
the Scottish Wonder.
Yeah. He's
does he like Scotty?
No, but he swears a lot, so we don't let him on any of our shows.
Well, there you go.
But he'd fit in perfectly on.
But you guys let us on your show.
We don't really swear on your shows, not that I know of.
We can show restraint when we have to.
So
she gets burns on like 80% of her body, but she looks just fine when the doctor wakes her up.
Yeah, the doctor gets her all worked.
He fixed her.
And she's like, well, I couldn't fix your face. It's got scars on it. She's got like a really bad piece of makeup hanging off her face. It was like,
yeah,
it just looks like a flap. It doesn't look like scarring. I'm like, you should have just said I fixed you.
Still looks good.
Budget concerns.
I don't know. I'm just all about Janeway on this episode.
Kate Mulgrew.
Must be going through
puberty.
Testosterone thing. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's just Seven didn't have a whole lot of screen time in this episode, so.
She looks good, too. She doesn't actually, like, her hair never even gets messed up.
It gets a little bit messed up. Not a whole lot, though.
Well, I mean, there's just Tuvok.
Yeah. But he does shave every day, so his hygiene. Man.
The Vulcan. Good hygiene's logical, dude.
He's got to have good hygiene, and I bet you, like, Janeway's hygiene's awful. Like, I bet she's got pit stains.
And
probably smells.
Tuvok must be in hell. Like, it's supposed to be double a year of hell for Tuvok because, well, in Enterprise, we learned that
Vulcan. The best thing that happened to him is he can't see.
Well, that's actually worse. Because whenever you lose your sight, your other senses
can smell go. Everybody.
Yeah, because we found out
here.
Yeah.
In Enterprise, Vulcans have a super strong sense of smell, and they think humans are like
Harry. So, I can smell your balls from here. It's terrible.
They think humans are like garbage. There's even like they even mentioned that like T'Pol put some nasal numbing ointment underneath her nose so she doesn't have to smell.
Yeah, like, it's a funny thing, is guys, because she's like the first Vulcan.
Mentholate was made in Buffalo.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Yeah, so she doesn't have to
like
smell.
She does. The detectives going in for the decomposed body. She doesn't want to smell humans.
No, that's basically what
smell
she
like
does.
Decomposed ass. That's so she just wants to.
Yeah, so Tuvok is and then he's living on this ship with humans. He's lost his eyesight, so his nose, which was already in overdrive, has now got NOS.
Well,
on
this
it.
Is like what close to 200 years in the future from her time, or maybe more. So it's like I'm sure they have some kind of technology that he doesn't smell.
Maybe, but still, like everyone's super gonna stink
from Buffalo.
From Buffalo.
Right. Probably New Buffalo.
That's the Buffalo town, and it's just a giant methylene factory.
New Buffalo Townville.
Their biggest buyer is the
Hamlet of New Buffalo Townville.
They're the biggest one buyers from their methylatum is the Vulcan Consortium. It's just like buying methylatum for all those humans.
Because we smell bad.
And Tellarites that they have to keep stinking, smelling.
Oh, they got to smell way worse than humans.
Oh, yeah, they got to smell bad. Well, anyways, yeah, so.
You guys should never invite me on because we never really follow the script.
We're everywhere. So she's very badly burned. And the doctor says that she can't go back because she has traumatic stress disorder. And she says,
what are you going to do?
Is she going to stop me? I'll just turn your program off. And he's like, you wouldn't do that.
You could pull a phaser on me. And she's like, what the hell are you going to do? And she's like, well, I'm going to put a formal complaint in your record. And you're going to get court-martialed. And she's like, I'll take that.
Yeah. Like,
whatever.
If we get home, I'll take that.
She's rolling the dice. Like, yeah, we're never going to get home. This is fine.
Right.
They make a deal with a couple of other ships.
Yeah, they kind of like team up,
which ultimately should have just you should have seen all of the people on there, and they all should have been wearing red shirts.
Oh, that'd been great.
It was like we brought you two species in to die.
You're all going to die.
Yeah, you're going to die.
And then
she splits up the crew
at the same time.
Red Foreman's making more changes because Chakotay thinks he's raising with him, and Tom Paris is all pissed off that, hey, look, you know, you can't seriously be trying to be friends with this guy, and Chakotay's like, I'm working on it, he'll listen to me, and then he goes and like kills a whole another couple races.
No planet just out of nowhere. He's like, ah, I'll just kill these guys, you know, like, nope. That
Chakotay's begging, and he's like, yeah, fire the weapon.
He said visions of Obama and John Boehner. He'll listen to me. No, he'll listen to me. I know he will. I know he will.
No,
he'll be fine.
No, he won't.
No, and then so Chakotay's kind of like, yeah, maybe he's not such a good guy.
And Tom Paris has been slowly worming his way through the crew, and he's getting all the inside knowledge. And he says basically he can send a message to Voyager without being detected because the crews gave him that ability. And also he knows how to basically destroy or disable the temporal weapon. So they do send a message. Tom Paris sends a message to the Voyager, let them know where they're at and what they're going to do with the plan. So they mount this attack on the Anorax's Red Foreman's ship. The attack takes place, and
two of the ships get destroyed like immediately.
Oh, I thought they were going to take out the bridge the way that one ship swipes across the.
Oh yeah, swipes across Voyager. Yeah,
Voyager's bow there.
Just had to kick Voyager's ass a little
scrape,
bit. More
scrape Janeway off the face.
And
of the
then
planet.
Janeway realizes that she's got a giant window into space,
which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and,
it was cool.
And then she just says, "I'm ramming them."
She's like, "Take off your temporal shielding because if I destroy this thing, maybe it'll make things go back to how they were."
Yeah, so she rams.
Right, there was a little Deus Ex Machina at the end.
Well, the whole. Yeah. I mean, she rams into the ship, and then it explodes, and then everything is how it was. So it's like the whole episode's a non sequitur. Two brilliant episodes, and it doesn't even matter.
It would have been cool if something came out of it. Yeah, yeah.
It just was like, these are two of Voyager's best episodes.
I'll give you that. That it would have been cool if something.
Like if it would have stuck,
right?
It's just because
nothing stuck right anyway.
You know? No, yeah.
In every little change, there was something that changed that didn't go. So
right. So she crashes into Anorax's ship. All of a sudden,
just had that big flap of skin.
Flap of skin.
On her face for the rest of the entire series.
Yes. Oh yeah.
The next 3 years, there's just that.
Yes. What happened to your face?
Honking flap of skin.
I got venereal disease.
on my face.
On my face.
On my cheek.
This is the biggest herpes you've ever seen.
Biggest herpes you've ever seen.
Do you ever see those games on you guys on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like,
I didn't know where you were going to go with that.
Right, get your Star Trek name. It's like, right. So
oh, right,
get your Star Trek name is the first three letters of your last name.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing this with my name? And the first two letters of your first name.
So right? You're herp.
So I'm herpy. Right? So then I end up with. Then I have to tell somebody about it. I'm like, geez, let me post this status. So for like the
I'm
next
herpy.
11. So the next 11 months, I get like all the Facebook ads are for like ointments and salves.
Wow.
For Simplex 1 through 7. Total true story.
That's embarrassing.
That's great.
Just type herpy. Right.
The nice news is that only I can see the ads on my page.
Yeah, but it's funny that you get that. Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Voyager gets put back to where it was.
And then they ask the ship just to run through the space, and then they say no, and Voyager's just like, okay, we'll go around. I'm like,
well, because
you could have said that 2 episodes ago. Because
they didn't fire.
He asked nicer.
Yeah, he was cool.
He didn't say don't come through our space. He said this space is under dispute. Maybe you want to sneak around.
Yeah, yeah.
Much nicer. Didn't say
a little bit nicer.
Right.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the first episode, he's like, no, go around.
And then at the very end, which is really confusing, they show Red Foreman doing calculations, and his wife comes in. But, like, is this 200 years ago? Is this now? Like, I don't, like, there's no context to that scene. It makes no sense.
Well, because the ship never existed.
True.
Maybe,
Well, the ship was just destroyed. I mean, it shouldn't have just reset everything back to the point where it just would start all over again.
Maybe.
But the thing is, like, they had been in the ship for 200 years. So, like, does this race just live a long time? Is this now? Or is this 200 years ago? Because they show his pads, and he's got the calculations on them.
Oh, it doesn't mean it.
So
had,
just like,
I don't know if it had to be necessarily at that moment, but I do feel that it kind of gave you a feeling that he was like saying, I'll take time out to be, you know, hang out with my wife and connect with her instead of just working, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's where the show ends.
Sure. But I mean, like, I understand there's that connect, but it
know,
just,
Dave,
but like in the timeline,
Dave,
is this now? Is it
Dave,
then? Is it?
It doesn't matter. Just get to
it matters to the man of the details.
Yeah, he's stuck on the details.
Tell
you know.
Me why you're doing the things you're doing, please.
Please.
I need to understand.
Go back to your alley with your top hat.
Yes.
Twisty mustache.
No pants.
No. Oh, boy, that took a turn.
Totally.
Okay, so, Pete, since you're a guest, obviously it's a great episode, but what was your thoughts after watching it? Any feelings, takeaways?
Well, like I said a little bit earlier, that I totally dig the whole the timeline stuff,
yeah,
and the stuff like that.
Time travel.
Yeah. The other thing for me is, I was saying to Dave earlier that I really liked Voyager as a series.
It can be good.
I'm not sure why. I just enjoyed it. I mm-hmm. enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed the premise. I liked the Voyager itself. I think she's a cool
looking ship. It's a cool ship.
Yeah, she's a cool looking ship and stuff. In this particular episode, and I think I told you guys last time I was here, my degree is in scenic design mm-hmm. for the theater, mm-hmm. and I loved watching Voyager get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought visually. This
they did a good job with the sets and making
the insides were amazing. Just seeing it all awesome. Gutted.
There was some stuff that was a little bit like the venting the nebula into the inside with the kind of
plumes.
The plumes of purple smoke.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
And I'm watching and I'm like, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so there was some hokey stuff. One of the reasons I think that I started to like Voyager more than some of the earlier stuff mm-hmm. is that things just got better. Like I like new Star Wars better than old Star Wars right. because production values got better, you know, and
it's the
production values were much better, I think, in Voyager than they were in, you know, obviously in
well, especially
the original series or even TNG.
You know? Yeah. If you take TNG, cause that's kind of when they got restarted yeah. doing it, they ramped up slowly and they got better and better. And, you know, after Deep Space Nine, Voyager was a well-tuned machine on how to take care of all those things.
You know, and one of the things that I was thinking about in the whole thing is, geez, whatever happened to Rick Berman, you know? I didn't realize he was as old as he is. He's like 70 now. And he just kind of, it was, after Enterprise was done, he was done. You know, he was the keeper of the Star Trek kingdom for quite some time.
Yeah, and Gene passed it down to him.
Yeah, and it was just time for him to be done with it. And I think he did, tell me if you guys agree with this, like, we have this argument on the Geekiverse all the time, big screen versus small screen. I think that Berman was much better on a small screen
than
he was on a big screen.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely, because, his Star Trek Next Gen movies ran Star Trek into the ground. It's what killed Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean, you had four Next Gen movies, and you struck out on three of them. I mean, like... I'm not a huge fan of how Rick Berman handled the movies.
Right. And I just think that it's, you know, it's a totally different medium.
Sure.
I had an argument with one of the guys today about, you know, like what's going on with DC, the sort of unraveling of the DC movie universe. And I'm a DC TV guy. Love it.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, Grant Gustin's not a good Flash. And I'm like,
DC should have used their TV series as their groundwork for the movies.
Right.
Because their movies are an utter train wreck with all the bad news and bad press that's been going on.
I thought way back in the early 2000s when Smallville came out, they should have just put that kid, I forgot his name, made him Superman. Because the end of the Smallville was basically
him becoming Superman.
Him becoming officially Superman. I mean, they show him flying around with a cape and everything. And I thought, like, you have a whole fan base already set up. I mean, people were crazy for Smallville at that time. Just, you know, do one movie with him as Superman. See what happens. You know, it's like everyone identified him as Superman.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that's nice about the Star Trek universe as a whole is that, you know, right up until Chris Pine and the J.J. Abrams stuff, you had the same character. You had continuity.
Right.
There is no property that's done continuity better than Star Trek.
No. I mean, they've definitely kept it through.
Even to the point where...
50 years of the same continuity. It's amazing.
Same continuity except for...
700-something episodes, except for three movies.
Yeah.
And probably Discovery.
Yeah. Right.
Although Discovery is really supposed to be in the same.
Yeah, but we.
It's in the prime timeline. Right. I'm using air quotes because this is a telling you about the air quotes.
Yeah.
Because you can't see me, but Yeah, it's...
You should see him, though. He does air quotes better than...
crushing these air quotes!
Have you ever seen anybody do air quotes better?
Not as angry as Dave does. No.
So that's my thing, you know? Like, I don't... I think the DC's in a little bit of trouble because we're on our, you know, fourth Batman now, or fifth, maybe more, right?
Was it rumors that Affleck doesn't want to do it anymore?
That's what started my whole DC's unwinding thing is, you know, he was going to direct it, and now he's not... Now he doesn't even want to be in it.
Well, and there's been three writers for The Flash, and they can't do it. They can't even keep a writer on. I just don't understand how that's such a train wreck.
So that's one of the things that's, for me, it's great about the whole Star Trek universe.
And as much as I rag on Voyager and you give me a hard time for ragging on Voyager, Voyager's still better than, like, you know, half of what's on television nowadays.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I just want to be clear
that if I wasn't ragging on you for that, I'd find something else.
Sure. No, but I mean, like, you know, I just want the listeners to know, too. Like, as much as I rag on Voyager, like, it's, to me, the worst Star Trek gets. But the worst Star Trek gets is still so much better than so much else that's on television even now.
Yeah.
And... in the past, too. So, I mean,
although it's a good show. I've been getting into sci-fi's show, The Expanse.
Yeah, I'm a couple episodes behind, but I watched all last season, and I just started this season.
Pretty good.
So. Yeah.
I haven't seen The Expanse. I've been watching Dark Matter. It's more, like, it's sort of Firefly-ish to me.
I'll probably catch it soon.
On my list. That's going to be a summer list. One of the things that I really like about The Expanse is they answer questions that Star Trek never answered.
Oh, nice.
Like...
Yeah.
Gravity in space.
Gravity's a big thing for them.
You know, like in Star Trek, it's just there. You know what I mean? They have their anti-gravity, and it's just there, and you walk around the ship like nothing. Well, these ships in The Expanse are...
Yeah, they don't.
You got to wear your...
If they don't have their gravity boots on, you're floating.
You're floating. You know? So it's cool. And again, The Expanse wouldn't have worked 15 years ago.
No, they couldn't
do it.
You know,
it's the filmmaking technology nowadays that allows for that show to be good.
I mean,
I'm loving The Magicians. Are you watching any of that?
No, I haven't.
Fantastic.
The thing is that I think the biggest thing that has held, you know, the Star Trek universe down, if anything, because it has been a TV show, is limited budget. I mean, when we got into the movies, you could do bigger things, but unfortunately, even
the movies were lower budget by most standards.
Certainly by today's standards.
Yeah. Well, even by then standards. I mean, the motion picture was, I think, the biggest budget of them all. And it was literally a 1970s effects film. I mean, they had so many different like models and sets. And the models looked amazing. I mean, like, sometimes they had some problems doing the forced perspective, right? Where they looked like models, like really badly looked like models. But even though they looked like models... they were intricate and they looked amazing. Like it's weird and surreal.
Say this out loud here, but there's not really a Star Trek movie pre J.J. Abrams that I'm in love with.
Really?
Yeah.
So you like the
J.J. Star Trek 6 and Star Trek 2.
Star Trek 2 and 6 are, I think,
the best.
The gold standard.
Like I thought 6 was the best until Beyond came out. Beyond
is 4 the one with the whales?
Yes.
That was my wife and I first date.
Oh, wow.
She married me anyway.
Did you see the whales? Star Trek 4 was the most accessible Star Trek movie to non-Star Trek fans.
I totally loved it too.
But
none of them, there's none of them that have to be in my, you know what I mean? Like in my,
you have to watch.
Yeah. There's no, you know, if it's on and nothing else is on, but. I much prefer the small screen Star Trek to big screen until J.J. Abrams stuff.
Interesting.
It just depends on the movie. I mean, like, I love half of them, and I don't like half of them. So, I mean...
Two was which one?
Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And 6 is Undiscovered Country, which is amazing. Country,
really good movie for so many reasons.
Save the Whales is good, too. I mean, it's the Star Trek buddy comedy movie of the year.
All the ones with the nuclear vessels. Yeah.
Nuclear vessels.
Why do you keep them?
Almost all the original series cast movies I pretty much like. Even motion picture for a lot of stupid reasons on my end I like. It's not a great movie. I wouldn't make anybody watch it.
And don't get me wrong. I like them.
Yeah.
I like them all. Mm-hmm. But there's so many movies
that are, you know,
for a Trekkie like me, that's painful to say. that I don't love their big screen stuff.
Dave, Year of Hell.
I love this episode. Like, ever since, like, the second week we started this podcast, Aaron, I was like, we should do a Voyager episode. Oh, we should do Year of Hell. I'm like, I am so hard on Voyager. I don't want to do Year of Hell right off the beginning of the gate because then it's just going to be downhill. Because, like, to me, these are probably my up there. Top five Voyager, if you count it as one episode. It's easily in the top five for Voyager.
Is this episode 101?
It's 102.
102, there was another one between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did Tribunal for Deep Space Nine for 101 was where Miles O'Brien gets taken to court.
Stripped naked. Nickety, and then his tooth gets taken out. And
yeah, to.
They give him some S&M gear.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine is another one that I'm going to jump into because I didn't really watch it.
Talk to Dave. Dave will give you the full list of what to watch because there's a lot of Deep Space Nine you can avoid.
I didn't really like it and then I stopped watching.
There's a list that basically you skip most of the first season and
Deep Space Nine was a weird place for me when it first came out because right at the time Deep Space Nine was coming out, Babylon 5 was out.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. Now, of course, I knew the difference between
the two. The sad thing is, like, even though they came out at the same time, like, Babylon 5 aged way worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Way worse.
Yeah, I know it did. But the thing is that I would watch it. But Babylon 5 had some, like, interesting concepts behind it. And I found myself intrigued. And I was maybe feeling a little burned out from Next Generation.
The Borlons were super cool. The Shadow were super cool.
Yeah.
And then after the Shadow War, it just was like, it fell apart from me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good. But anyways, that all being said, it was like I kind of fell off on Deep Space Nine because I into like the second season. I was like, I just don't know if I'm into this.
The first three seasons are really hard on Deep Space Nine.
And
once you've seen all of Deep Space Nine all of the way through, the first couple seasons, like, and you can remember most of it, the first two seasons get less painful on repeat watches because you kind of understand.
You understand where everything
fits in. Because there's so many episodes in the first two seasons that some of them don't even really feature the Federation characters prominently. They're just, like, guest characters that come on and, like, the episode's all about them. Like, why is that important? And some of them aren't, but some of them, there's really slow character building.
Like, I liked I'm not going to remember the character's name, but I love the shapeshifter guy.
Odo.
And he's such a great actor.
Yeah.
He's great.
The first two seasons, like, the only thing that really keeps me holding on is the Odo-Quark relationship, the good cop and then the robber type situation between those two on the station.
Did we ever see Ferengi before Deep Space Nine?
Yeah. They were in season one of TNG.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Ferengi characters. They're great fun.
Well, Dave, so you and Dave should get married.
I keep saying that.
I know.
It's creepy.
I almost feel some jealousy coming from you.
Yeah.
Like, when you think, you look at us and you're like, all those hours I wasted watching The Simpsons.
Yes.
You know what I'll do? I'll make fun of Pete and Dave because they didn't waste all that time.
I just feel sorry for you too. Feel sorry.
The one Simpsons, it wasn't really The Simpsons. I watched the Family Guy crossover with The Simpsons. So it was sort of The Simpsons, but it was
a crossover.
Yeah. but it was technically on the Family Guy slot. So
again, for me, for Year of Hell, I loved Red Foreman's character. I think I love a sympathetic villain. There's nothing better than sympathetic. I mean, like, of course, I don't agree with what he was doing, but I just love to
understanding
see
why.
Yes. Instead of just some guy just coming in and just, like, killing people for no reason, like, just like, why? What, you know, like, what's the point? You know, like, it's like when you see American Psycho with Christian Bale, you're like, why is he such a freaking crazy person? Like, what is it? What made him that way? You know, like, you never know, you know,
just
so.
Because it's Christian Bale.
And then he became Batman.
Right.
I can use my rage for just constructively. But this is kind of in regard to what you're saying, a sympathetic villain. If you know, Marvel has any, like, huge flaw in their movies, and they've been usually pretty good, is that their villains are just
one-dimensional.
There's no
– just bad guy.
They're just a bad guy. There's no setup. There's no sympathy in that for all.
No, I agree.
That would be because you're trying to jam –
so much
seasons of comic books into a 2.5-hour movie.
But that being said, I mean, you see a lot of interesting. I mean, like William Dafoe in Spider-Man. Not going to say I loved his character as a Goblin
the Green Goblin, but it was interesting. You know, I got into it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I...
Sure, I mean, but he, yeah, he was better developed than any of the, like, the phase, starting with Iron Man. Like, none of the bad guys have been that
developed. Oh, yeah, the Iron Man villains have been, like, with Jeff Bridges...
Well, I mean, like, starting with Iron Man, all the Marvel movies, starting with Iron Man to now, like, none of the bad guys have had any anything but just one-dimensional.
Yeah, they're just kind of just like, we're just bad guys. Yeah, you don't get it. There's no reason.
I'm trying to think of a...
There isn't one. Not a really decent bad guy.
I mean...
Like I said, Magneto...
too. He's not my bird.
Yeah, but they... It wasn't
Mickey
like...
Rourke. He's not Mickey, that
well. Oh. It's interesting, but then he just disappears. And the other guy is... I can't picture... Yeah, Guy Pearce.
Justin Hammer?
Justin Hammer, yeah.
What's the guy's name?
I forgot the actor's name, but yeah.
Yeah, me too.
But he's, you know...
He was great fun.
He's great fun, but you're not really interested in him as a villain. And, you know...
He's comic relief. He shouldn't be a villain.
He was totally comic relief in that movie.
Yeah.
And the bad part of Iron Man 2 was Rourke's character kind of just, like, goes away. Like, not even through... He should have, like, stayed.
And then, like, I was always confused. Like, did he lose his legs or not? Did he get, like, robot legs? Like, so in the jail cell, it looks like he's, like, missing his legs, sort of. I'm like,
I don't know.
Did he lose his legs in the car accident?
I just kind of wish they would have, like, done a little more with him.
And, you know...
Because he was a cool villain...
That's one of the things that I think Star Trek does well, though. I mean, I think that there is good villains.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, I think for the most part, most of the villains are at least pretty cool for some ways. I mean, the Klingons get a little two-dimensional, of course, because they're just like, we're just here to, you know...
Smack heads and drink blood wine.
Yeah, pretty much. There's no real... It's just their culture. That's
sounds like an episode of The Synthologs.
Yeah.
Smacking heads and drinking blood wine.
That's right. But, yeah, so
you.
But yeah, I do enjoy a sympathetic villain. I love Voyager getting all smashed up. I love Janeway. She is hot. She's hot.
And I totally agree with you on, like, it would have been cooler to watch Voyager limp home.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with all the scuffles,
come in looking like it just ran through Delta Sonic before it went to a wedding.
Yeah, I mean, it just would have, for continuity, it's been great. Like maybe they lose both their nacelles and they've got like two mismatched alien nacelles. Like just like the ship should have been like a patchwork of all these different things they found,
and that would have been totally cool. Quite
it would have been great seeing the ship change, or like even between seasons, the ship just get totally changed in between seasons because time is elapsed. You know, or
holding
just,
it together with bubble gum and paper clips would have been a cool long term story arc over the whole thing, and that's one of the things that I like. About a lot of what's going on now is that there's a long game in everything. You know what I mean? There's a season long arc in everything, and then there's a week to week arc.
I'm excited to see how that's going to pan out with Star Trek Discovery being a 13 episode arc.
Well, and it's basically a new format. Is not episodic. It's serialized. It's like if this happens, then this. So that's the great thing with TV nowadays.
But it's still, you got the long term. But if it's done well, you got
you could have
episodes
right
with little bits and pieces of the of the big arc in it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's great stuff. Enjoy. I really did enjoy it quite a bit. It was it's a fun two-parter. And I don't hate Voyager. I like when Voyager has a great story, but a lot of times their stories can be really just like, you're like, what? What's that? What is that?
See a couple episodes ago for Threshold.
Yeah, Threshold's terrible.
Episode 99, actually. Approaching. That's the closest we've done Voyagers back-to-back, I think, like three episodes apart.
We got a lot of Voyager to go through.
We've skipped it a lot, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's because Dave hates it.
Prepare to hear me rant.
Pretty much. We should do Eye of Needle. That's a good one. The one I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
There's another good one where
you guys are like the Rain Men when it comes to... You know, like I can drop a whole bunch of episodes on the ground and you'll tell me what their names are and what their...
I'm more of like the mentally slow Star Trek fan.
The Tom Cruise of the Rain Man.
Worse.
Yeah, I mean,
his brother who didn't graduate high school.
I can't even do it. You guys, show me the money.
what about this movie? When you rattle off movie numbers instead of names, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Well,
I don't even know why you invite me here.
We kind of.
Because you got too much blood wine. And, you know,
yeah. We got the chair too
to duct tape you to. So yeah. that's coming up.
No.
we have you here because we love the Geekiverse and you're the most Star Trek representative of them. So
yeah, good recovery, David.
But we do have the chair with the seam cut out.
I won't even sleep tonight thinking about that scene.
I just love that Daniel Craig's like, ooh.
Won't even sleep tonight. That's probably why he gave up on that. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
No,
why?
But
because you busted my nuts.
You bust my nuts.
But that was the first movie. He didn't want to give up to the third movie.
He doesn't sleep anymore either.
He just watches that scene over and over again. He's like, I'm never going to sleep again.
That last one he did was pretty good.
I didn't see it.
Pretty. I liked them all.
Yeah, yeah.
He's my favorite Bond.
Yeah, I don't know if he's my favorite, but he's really good. I really like him a lot.
He's my favorite Bond. It's one of the series. This is the thing that Star Trek.
I'm more of a Timothy Dalton kind of guy.
Star Trek didn't get all gritty.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's about to.
It's about to get gritty with Discovery.
I think Discovery is going to be gritty.
Maybe.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
That's the thing right now.
Oh yeah, that's where the trend is.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
And they did rolling up
your pants and gritty everything. Those are the trends right now.
And they did do that production behind the scenes thing where they say Star Trek is ...
gritty.
Star Trek is now gritty.
Gritty kitty.
Year of Hell Part 2. Our Year of Hell, our personal stories. I know it took a little bit for us to actually get into the Star Trek on this episode, but hope it was worth it.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you go back and rewatch
it. I enjoyed it.
And if you have not seen Year of Hell, Voyager, please put it on. You will enjoy it.
Even if you're not a Voyager fan, these are two episodes that are just fantastic and they just work.
They're very good. And like Dave said, it's non sequitur. It doesn't have any impact.
It has zero impact to the entire thing, which is the most disappointing thing about it is that these are two amazing episodes, and that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
But they're still good, so you should watch them because they are excellent.
Oh, absolutely.
Well-crafted television.
I loved it. Good stuff.
Any other closing remarks?
Get ready for the chair, Pete.
I'm never coming here again.
I'll have your balls. You'll have to come back.
Never coming again. Thanks for having me. As always, it's great fun to sit with you guys and talk about something that I do love a lot.
Yeah. So do we.
We love Star Trek. We love talking. We love having people over to talk with because it's always fun talking with each other, but it's always fun also getting someone else's opinion and ideas and thoughts into it. It shakes things up for us, so I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, that was my job.
Exactly.
To point out your darkener of doorsteps.
Darkener of doorsteps.
That's Dave, Dave Duncan, the darkener of doorsteps.
Lots of D's.
Lots of D's. I'm a teacher. I love alliteration.
Well, my dad taught a logic class for homeschoolers when I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was in the class, and I loved trying to fit door stops into like any kind of logical, like, you know, it's just in the exercises. I was trying to figure out ways to insert door stop. I don't know why I was obsessed with door stops.
You mean the physical door stops?
Yes. I was trying to fit them into the exercises, like, you know.
The logic exercise.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I can't think of a better way to end this.
Just speaking of door things. Well, all our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. Again, you can find us online at Synthaholic Duo on Twitter. Join the Facebook conversation at facebook.com/groups.
It's always a party.
Lots of fun stuff.
Facebook Live.
Someday.
One day. We talked about it a year ago. We kind of forgot about it.
We got to
start. Mainstream.
Yeah, but we got to kind of get like the equipment for that set up and all that bullshit. We'll do it.
I was just on another audio podcast and they did it with their phones. And their whole podcast, their whole business model was phones. It was kind of cool.
I just wonder what the quality would be like.
I don't know.
We can give it a try and see what happens.
We should test it.
Right now, we'll sit in each other's lap.
I'm not sitting on your laps. Like,
I'm taking my pants off.
My contract did not call for some of the crap you got.
You didn't read the fine line.
Blood wine. You want me to sit on your lap? That ain't happening.
apparently misconstrued.
How are we all gonna get the same frame with a cell phone if we all sit on each other's laps?
That's right.
You come on.
Over in the corner or something.
What if it falls over?
You got me there.
I had a job. Rate us on iTunes. You can give us stars and ratings. Please help us out on the show that way as well.
Your reviews will help us get noticed on iTunes and their algorithms of what gets news and notable.
News and noteworthy. So we want to be that once more. We were for a little bit.
Way back when.
Like a week, and then it went away. We want to be back. We want to be there again. So please rate us and review us. If writing reviews and giving stars isn't your thing, we do have a Patreon. We have so you can join us at patreon.com/synthaholics. If you want to donate, we've got some bonus episodes, some other bonus content. And if you want to suggest bonus content, please write us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Or if you have any comments about this episode and using chairs to hurt people's balls, you can also email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Also, let your friends and family know about Synthaholics. Let your grandmother know if she enjoys to listen to offbeat, grotesque humor. Let her know. She'll love it.
Yes, honey.
My grandmother will not be listening to you.
I listen to Synthaholics filth, and I love it. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. We'll sing and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
None of us know what our night's going to look like.
What does it entail?
I'm less sure.
A blood wine binger.
Oh, prostitutes and fish hooks.
That's a lot of blood wine. You saw the thing I was pouring into.
I am sure that my night's not going to be that.
The world may never know.
How many licks does it take to center of a Tootsie Pop?
I don't know. If you're a turtle, you just bite through it.
Yeah, that's right. Sure. We're not going to do our
decapitates against taxes.
The taxes. You must pay the taxes.
It's Soviet run. Capital gains you.
The last episode was pretty good. I listened to it. The echo thing was a little weird at the end.
It was actually a lot quieter than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. He discovered he has a echo.
The cat discovered.
Reverb on his, yeah. On his board.
It's so creepy. We're trying to get shoe opera. It's a live and dead for a long time. We're beneath the mirror.
Night of Living Dead.